Sunday special. How have you guys been? I want to thank you guys for your extended patience with me. I really do appreciate it. We're getting back into the swing of things, and I'm hoping for us all to end the year right. I don't want to steal too much of your time today. I hope you guys had a lovely Halloween. I would only like to share a couple of ideas with you guys, if that's fine. You know, I've been thinking a lot about the burdens of men and women, and I have an entire podcast episode based on the gender differences and responsibility. So hang in tight. If you care about that type of stuff, hang in tight. I'm going to break these things down because they're important parts of our existence, because we kind of, as people, embody an archetypal existence, but that's for a different episode. But earlier this month, I was privileged enough, and I want to emphasize privilege. I was privileged enough to participate in a men's meditation retreat as a guide of sorts. It was amazing, nourishing, beautiful, and I was lucky to be regarded as fit enough to lead some of my brothers in reflection and dialogue. All good things are done through God and His strength and His empowerment, but the conversation left me thinking a lot about the state of men at large. I see men burdened by so much on the internet and in my personal life. And contrary to our gynocentric model of social justice that we currently live within, it's kind of hard to be a man. And if it's not hard, I can say that it's not easy. Is that fair? Because I don't think men are looking for sympathy or empathy either, per se, but there's a slight trepidation that most men feel in discussing our grievances, in the fear of feeling less masculine, exposing our weaknesses and pains. When I was a child, I remember watching my father go to work every day, no vacations. And I've never heard this man to this day complain once about work. Nothing. He would never even talk about it. He'd go out into the world with a lunchbox in hand, and he'd come back at night and watch television until 3 a.m. and he'd do it again and again and again and again. After the conversation I had with my brothers, you know, these grievances of masculinity stuck with me in a profound way, in ways that never struck with me before. As some of you might know, I think I've spoken about this in the past. I've done public speaking engagements, but man, none of them really, really laid into my spirit like this past one. There is something revolutionary that we do when we share our stories, our hearts, our wounds, these deeply personal tales. This is a part of a larger issue that I've realized with our generation that I would like to share with you guys too. What I've noticed about our generation is that we don't talk about anything. I've been around many circles, listening and talking. And what I found is that friends talk about nothing when they're around each other. And when I say nothing, I mean things of very little emotional significance. We fill our days with small talk, passive chatter, even with the people we care about the most, because it's safe. For example, in order for me to get the people I love to share conversations that matter, I have to dig, have to mine. One, because I love conversation, and two, because I love people. I want the best for everyone, truly. I want nothing from no one other than the best. For them. Not for me, for them. And it's because of that openness of the past weekend, the candor, it made me think, what are we doing with the people we claim to love? How are we sharing? How are we communing? Does your closest friend feel as though his wounds are being treated with the same amount of love as his accomplishments? Do you hear me, my brothers? Are we loving each other well enough so that we hear each other? What I've been able to assess is that as men, we need an adventure, a journey. Not only do we yearn for an adventure, we desire a way to offload the rigors of that journey, the bleeding blessings and curses alike. It's a part of our design. For men, life itself approximates a war, which is why we love sports so much. And ladies, if you ever wanted to know why your boyfriend loves sports so much, I'm going to give you the short answer. It approximates war. It's ancestral. It's a part of our DNA. But a war where death doesn't come of the loser. You know, when an athlete like Tom Brady leads his team to a Super Bowl and wins, he becomes a folk hero in our subconscious, surviving a ritualized combat, a modern day Heracles weathering his labors. When Tom Brady has a bad game, it's just as publicized. Competition, the highs and the lows, is the nature of man. Tough men battling against tough men. But what is beneath that need to compete? What is it? How do we satiate that desire in a way that feeds our spirit with not only the love of victory, but the respect of the travels of our fellow man? I.e. LeBron James showing love for Tom Brady, but telling Cameron Payne to chill on his trash talk. Or Draymond Green saying, the only person who can talk trash to me is LeBron James. And Draymond didn't say as much, but it's because no other active player has as many rings as LeBron, which is a crazy stat we don't talk about, but I'm sure LeBron James is aware of. Anyway, we're a fraternity of travelers, of adventurers, and I was watching Tom Brady's return game against the Patriots because the media was making a big fuss of it. Not because I cared about it, because the media made a stink about it. So I wanted to go in there and check with eyes wide open what was actually going on. I had to ask myself, why were we enraptured in this journey as a collective? One can say capitalism, or another can say programming. Yes, but no, it's much deeper than that. There's a story there, and it's a part of our nature, the nature of us that loves the narrative. Why did Tom Brady winning a Super Bowl with the Buccaneers capture America's attention? Why do we care? Again, it's the story, the journey. Betrayed by Bill Belichick and the Patriots, he added to his mythos, a mythos that we are all trying to buy into and even create for ourselves. If we can't create it for ourselves, we desire to find it in others, creating modern day gods and demigods. We have an ancient computer in our minds, the mythological masculine, which inspires and gives us the energy to push through our days. When you look into an arena and see the fans nearly foaming at the mouth, engaged in this ritual combat by proxy, you get a window into the capacity of the human soul, a religious component that we think doesn't exist unless we are in the church. I realize that's the central concern of many men, the feeling that we could be doing more, that we're not living within our own myth, that we're side characters in someone else's narrative. So to my women listeners, please take a moment to grant me empathy as I try to sort through this dialogue for just the men. And if you have a special man in your life, maybe you can apply this to him, to possess empathy. Men are not perfect, and it's because we have a purpose problem. We're trying to create our narrative. We're fighting to be the main character in a life dominated by the greatness of other men. All we want is a page in the book of the grand narrative, a narrative that has stretched back for centuries, eons. Every day, we're in concert with our future self, trying our best to manifest him in the flesh. That's the challenge for men to find a responsibility, exercise discipline, and manage time well enough to continue to summon our highest ideal. Society hardly picks up men when we fail. It laughs, actually. Every man wants to be sung about kindly when he passes, to have our time here mean something to someone. We want our funerals to be filled with love, with people who love and loved us. And to my women who are in good relationships with good men, sing kindly about your man. Talk to him with affection every now and then. He's on his hero's journey and he needs you, an ally, not an enemy, an ally, to pick him up through the difficulties. Be his journal, the home to his lessons, bleeding blessings and curses. I love you guys. See you guys. Appreciate you guys. I love you so much. I give you 2 podcasts a week. And I'll talk to you guys on Wednesday.